All right. And are you leading this one, Derek?
I wasn't 100% certain. I guess it's me. Okay. So
let's... Richard's nodding his head.
He's saying, yes, it's your turn. Do it. I'm opening the agenda. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Community Engagement Committee of the HV Community Planning Council. And I guess we're starting with names. I'm Derek. I'm one of the, what do we call ourselves? I'm sorry.
Members, okay. Council members.
Members, one of the council members.
You're co-chair of the committee.
And yes, thank you. And co-chair of the committee. Would you want to go next, Mark? Or I'm sorry, B?
Sure. Hi, this is Lee, council member. I'll pass it off to Laura.
Laura Thomas, she, her, council member. I'll pass it to Richard.
I am one Richard Sullivan, council co-chair, and I'll pass it to Stephen.
Stephen Spano, member of the public, the HIV Consumer Advocacy Project, staff attorney at the AIDS Legal Referral Panel, and Mark Mullenberger.
Mark, council staff. Was there anyone else I missed?
Kira, council staff.
And last but not least, Crown Council staff.
Hello. Last but not least, you do say so yourself.
Welcome, Mark. Good to see you. And thanks a lot, Crown. Who is going to throw up the
agenda?
I can do that. Here it is. We have our regular stuff here as well as number 7, which is a transit needs assessment recommendation that Mark wanted to speak to last month, but we have it for this month.
Excellent. Thank you so much. This is the review. I don't see anyone asking for any changes or raise hand or anything like that. Can we throw up the, so we approve?
Yes.
By consent. So the minutes from the last meeting? So this is the members from our minutes from our last meeting. I hope everyone had a chance to review them before the meeting. Were there any changes or anything that folks wanted to bring up? Seeing none, no raised hands or anything like this. Let's go ahead and approve the minutes from the last meeting. Thank you, Kira. And so we go into the first item. Any announcements?
I have to leave by 4. I have a client at 4, so I'm hoping we wrap up by then.
All right. Stephen, I think your hand went up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take off as soon as I'm finished with my report today.
Okay. Thank you.
One other announcement, if everybody wants to know. Tonight, we are having our 40th anniversary AORP history panel. It's going to be downtown at the law firm. So if anybody's interested, let me know. I'll send you the invites.
History panel?
Yeah, so there's going to be a couple of founders of AORP speaking on a panel and talking about the kind of beginnings of the organization. We're really lucky, as you know, to have our founders still engaged on the panel. They're still in the community, and Bill's really excited about it. I'm really excited about it.
Nice. Thank you, Stephen. Any other announcements? Seeing none, we go right into public comments. I don't think we have public here. So right into your report, the HCAP report, Stephen.
Excellent, thank you. So I'll do what I can, typically what I normally do. I'll highlight a couple of cases that I think are worth talking about, and then I'll make myself available to answer any questions about those or others that folks are interested in. The first is on page one at 2023-07. This is a case involving a skilled nursing facility. I think it's worth mentioning only because, if nothing else, it illustrates kind of the voluntary nature of the HCAHP program. This is a situation where the client came to me for support. We were working together to kind of resolve some of the issues with the service provider. In the interim, the client's report is that they got COVID, they were moved to a different unit and moved from their initial, you know, space that they were in. They stepped outside to get some air at some point, and then the folks, they wouldn't let them back into the facility, which seems incredibly egregious to me. I don't know why anybody would stop a sick person from going into a hospital, but you know, the fact of the matter is I don't have the other side of the story. And the reason I don't have the other side of the story is because the service provider hasn't contacted me. And so I have yet to be able to contact anybody. I've been trying to find out more information. It doesn't seem that the service provider is willing or interested in speaking with me. And so I'm stuck with that one end of the story. But although that being said, there's very little I can do about it, except at this point, continue with the plan, which is to try and seek alternative housing for the client, who was hoping to do that anyway at some point, to be discharged back into the community. So I'll continue to do that work. I don't have any word from the skilled nursing facility. It's kind of irrelevant at this point because it's more about getting the client housed. But I thought it was an interesting illustration of how the process doesn't work when parties aren't willing to communicate. On page two.
Stephen, can I ask a follow-up question to a sort of a point that you just made, as far as like, I'm not sure what to do. You have a, yeah. So I don't know how, I mean, I think I 100% agree that your first priority is like working with a client to make sure that their overall needs are being met. One of the things, though, you know, as back in the day, I used to oversee this program when it was housed at Shanti. One of the things that we did used to do, and it didn't make us popular with HIV health services or with DPH in general, would be to contact the service provider's program manager and say, you know what, your agency is kind of fucking up here. They're not treating a client appropriately. I mean, at one point, Jolynn did this so aggressively that we got called to the carpet a little bit, because Joe was like you, a very fiery advocate, to say the least, while also trying to make sure that they got services. So that is, in some ways, like a recourse, I think, is to be able to actually say, okay, well, they're not even trying to like meet me halfway. They're not even communicating with me. You know, you're paid for under DPH admin funds. And so I think you should look at that in some ways as a way to empower yourself to connect with the program managers who can actually breathe down agencies' necks if they need to. Just a suggestion. Always, like, the priority is getting clients what they need. So you shouldn't be on like some kind of vision quest to make sure that an agency is punished when you have a lot more time to be, the necessary time is to support the client. But I just want to throw that out there. That's definitely something that people in your position have had the power to do, to the point where, like, you know, there's been pushback on that, which I think is a good thing.
That only works if they're actually DPH funded, though, you know.
True.
But yes.
So is this place DPH funded?
Yes, it is. So for HCAHP purposes, they're only an HCAHP client if they are funded by DPH or by HHS. So in order to even be an HCAHP case, or at least in order, let me rephrase that, in order to appear on this report, they have to be a DPH-funded provider, and they are. And just to respond, so, you know, I am no stranger to this organization, and I'm certainly no stranger to when it comes to talking about this. There are some challenged situations, in particular, now that the client is not there, they are far more difficult to reach. So it's harder for me to move forward with any kind of you know, the next question for the client would be, would you like me to file a grievance on your behalf based on this issue, right? But I can't even speak with the client at this point in order to do that because there's so many other instabilities. So the cool thing about the grievance is it's not like, you know, a lawsuit in that there's like a statute of limitations, right? I can work to get the client more stable. And if and when they decide to come back to this and say, hey, you know, we really need to like let everybody know what's going on. Now, certainly, if I think that it's going to support the client in getting what they need, I can be more aggressive about it. But at this point, there's so many other instabilities and going back to the facility is not the goal. So there's like less incentive to actually engage in that fight and make it, you know what I'm saying?
So makes perfect sense.
I agree what you're saying. It's kind of a case by case, you know, analysis that I have to do in every instance. And the DPH has been very supportive in the times when I do try to hold, you know, facilities accountable and DPH funded services accountable. They have been very, very supportive.
Good to hear. Thank you, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Richard?
Yeah, I'm just reading that. I know, Stephen, you mentioned that you only got one side of the story, but if any part of that is true on the side of the facility, that's pretty egregious. I don't want to say fishy, but it's a strange story. I mean, transferred to another wing, not allowed back in the facility. Client might need to be talked to about that, their part in that. The way this reads, that's a really egregious action on the part of the skilled nursing facility, if that's true. A strange story right there.
Yeah. I agree. I agree, without being able to, I often get, you know, information from one side that leads me to believe that. Sometimes it is confirmed, sometimes it is explained, sometimes it is enhanced. You know, that's the thing about conflict resolution. In no matter what, there's always at least three realities, and oftentimes none of them are as complete as they are without the others, included in the vision. And so, you know, that's the thing. That's just the thing about it. I'm. This could all be very true and be very egregious. It could also be very true, and there could be a lot of mitigating circumstances. I just simply don't know, and I don't want to. You know, suffice to say, at this point, this particular service provider has been held accountable by more than HCAP at this point. There's a lot going on. Were there any other questions about that one? It's kind of hard. I can't, again, not having spoken with the service provider, I feel tongue twisted, but I also don't want to speak out of turn without having spoken with them. I think it's bad enough that nobody's responding. You know. All right. So moving on to the second one. Again, I think this is a really good example of how, you know, the cases that come to HCAP. This is on page 2302, the second one down. This is an interesting thing about how like the HCAP cases tend to progress. The client came to me, and the first thing I wanted to do was amend the kind of edit there. Crown and Kira know that I ran into some Salesforce issues, and so this update didn't make it. But HCAP did actually refer the client to benefits counseling service provider, and the client is now connected with medication, and that happened in a very speedy way. It just, the update just didn't make it to the page. But this is one of the things that happens. Oftentimes, the client will come to me either on their own or via some other service provider referral. And the case very quickly turns into a very different case, and there's a more immediate thing, or one thing is resolved and another thing pops up in the process. And so, you know, that's one of the cool things about this position is that it's nimble and, you know, the knowledge of the service provider network is really helpful to clients. They don't often have like, you know, a one-stop shop to go to for stuff like that. And then let's see. One update. So let's see, on page 4, case number 2023-28. This is a case that I reported on, and I apologize for the formatting. Again, I'm Salesforced out of my mind at this point. So this is a case that I reported on. If everybody has been listening to me for the last couple of months, I've been advocating really hard for intensive case management support. This is a client who, you know, went to another service provider, a food service provider, and had a moment. And the food service provider contacted me saying, you know, and this is another amazing thing and why it's so important for me to be, you know, speaking with the service providers as often as I do is because, you know, they know what my goals are and they know what the, you know, and we're really lucky to have incredibly compassionate service providers, but this is a provider that probably could have terminated services immediately, but did not. Instead, they contacted me and said, we need to get this person some additional help before it affects their ability for us to, you know, to get services from us. And I'm really grateful that I got that call rather than the client get a termination letter, especially something so critical as food services. And so, you know, now it's like we have, you know, I can garner the support of the service provider, get a letter written, use that for additional advocacy. Now, whether the service that we're ultimately trying to get is available or not is an entirely different question. But I am informed that there is a new program. Well, it was initially funded at one of the primary care providers, and they have finally filled that ICM provider role. And so this client is now at the top of the list to get those services. You know, I guess in this, at this point, it's not necessarily a closed case. I'm waiting for it to be the envelope sealed on it. But it seems like the client will get at least some additional intensive case management support out of this whole process. So I wanted to report that. So with that, I think I'll open it up to questions and then we talked a little bit, but if there's stuff about anybody else wanted to talk about.
Seeing no responses, Stephen, wonderful report as usual. And particularly that last case was fairly unusual in hearing about a provider that reaches out to you as opposed to the client themselves. And it's great to know that that can be done as well.
It's not as unusual as you think. Oftentimes it results in some sort of referral and it doesn't have the backstory. And so it doesn't necessarily appear on this report. But I hope that the service providers know that I'm here not just to file grievances against them, but to support and connectivity too.
Excellent. Richard, I'm sorry, you have your hand up.
Yeah, Stephen, I just want to take a moment and thank you for all that you do, the advocacy and stuff. A lot of the stories that we see, the cases that you put out, they remind me of the way I used to live in these hotels. I can fit myself into a lot of those stories. I was wrong most of the time. I was right some of the time. There's limited case management or staff at these SROs, and you can get lost in the shuffle. Sometimes I needed to be sat down and talked to. So, yeah, it's really important, the work that you do, because I can fit myself into every one of those stories. I've lived that. And if you're on your own out there, you can just get lost and run over. And sometimes you are wrong and you need advocacy there and some talking to, and you want to hold on to your housing. I'm sure you have to have those conversations with clients also. So it's important what you do. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Richard. Thank you. You know, I mean, I think that's the thing. We've all been there. to some extent, we've all needed to get sat down a little bit and told, like, hey, you know, and put it into perspective. So I get that. It's certainly what I'm going for.
And with that, Stephen, thank you so much. I know you have to get going. And yeah, see you next month.
All right. Thank you all. I appreciate you.
Excellent. So we're going into our next item, and that is the trans needs assessment recommendations. Who will be taking that, actually? Hey, Mark.
Hi. I wasn't here last month, and actually, unfortunately, Maria doesn't appear to be here this month. And so we're going to have to kick this one to next month because we both need to be here for this conversation. The good news on this is that I felt like I heard from Maria in a different meeting. Maybe it was a co-chair's meeting, that there actually has been movement on this, and that her earlier comments were incorrect as far as they're not being funding for trans cultural competency trainings, that there actually is funding. And so the next month when we talk about this, it might actually just be an update from Maria rather than advocacy from me.
Oh, okay. Thank you there. And so we'll move on to the next item. I guess we're just kicking this back for next month then. So we're off to our next item, which is needs assessment COLA update.
Yeah, and I have a COLA update. So now that we've gathered our materials for this COLA and we have been able to sit down and talk with Stephen, we are now working on getting a date and time within the coming weeks for an actual COLA focus group. So hopefully, we just had a meeting with Mark and Crown. So hopefully we'll be able to do that by the end of this month or July. So hopefully by sometime next month, we will have an update.
All right. So another item that will be crossing over into the next month. Very well. Actually, that places us at the end of the meeting.
Another quick meeting.
Wow. So the next meeting is scheduled for July 5th.
The day after 4th of July. Time,
still on in June. What am I talking about? I have no idea. Sorry about that. I'm twisted brain today.
If that's the case, I should mention that I will actually be out at the next meeting. I'm post-surgery recovery, I'm happy to say. Oh. And so
brain replacement?
Say again?
Brain replacement?
Oh,
hilarious. That's just such a funny comment, Lee. I love comments about my brain. My one really beautiful aspect. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
So since I will be out, though, you don't actually need me at this point. The Maria piece might be the best thing to get the update on, because all of the advocacy that I was going to bring to this was like, we just need to have a damn cultural competency training for service providers the trans communities. Any of y'all can say that. And if Maria has like, yeah, it's going to be happening, then. So I don't think you need to take off or save that agenda item for another month. Just if Maria's here, just ask for an update on that.
All right. We might want to make sure Maria gets a special invitation to know that she's on the agenda.
Yeah, that's sure a good that. Point. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Maybe Kira or Crown can send her an email in advance of the meeting saying the group would love to hear an update as far as how, if there's been any kind of movement on a transcultural competency training for service providers. Cool. All right.
All right. Good luck there, Mark. I think that's what you say. July 5th, same time, same Zoom. And at 3:27, we'll make an adjournment. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, y'all. Later.
Happy Pride. Kira, I have a quick cue for you if you want to stick around.
Yeah. Let me stop recording this really quick.
That was so